This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
So how do you handle bullying on social media when you use it as a way to express yourself? When adult film actress Augusta Mees was reported in LGBTIQ media in the past weeks, it was because she tweeted she did not want to have sex with someone who had shot gay porn. After these comments, she was relentlessly bullied on Twitter for her views, and after someone tweeted she should commit suicide, that is what she did. Now, there are more circumstances than just sending a tweet that led to that moment, but it's an important reminder about how negatively using social media can have greater effects on everyone. Using this as an example, The Informer's Dan and Kate spoke with Andy Ruddock from the Monash University Faculty of Arts about how, when it comes to sex and sexuality, social media can help as much as it can hinder.
Pornography is a huge media, convergent media business. It's something which spills across a variety of media platforms. And one of the reasons, I think, why this is such a big story, or, you know, a story at all, is because you have an industry that's driven by, you know, the word porn star is a bit ironic because there are, you know, I mean, anybody with the internet knows there's thousands of them. So what we really have here are highly, incredibly busy people who work in the sex industry who, just to work, have to promote themselves across a variety of platforms. So Twitter has become one of the places where pornography is branded. And one of the reasons why this becomes such a big story is because porn stars are like any other kind of celebrity. It's incumbent upon them to seek attention, seek followers, and to use this platform to market themselves. Now, with that comes a responsibility, because on the other side of that, we know for a long time that we've become used to turning to popular entertainment to figure out, to think through issues about the matters that, you know, the things that matter to us in our personal lives. So particularly, you know, if you want to talk about issues of sexuality and sexual health and all of these sorts of things. And of course, one of the big things about this story, of course, was, you know, the idea that having sex with a man who has sex with other men is particularly risky, and you know, more risky than other forms of sex, which of course, you know, from a sexual health point of view, is not really, that flies in the face of what we know about sexual health and it being about practices rather than who you have sex with and all these sorts of things. But that simply reminds us that actually that entertainment is one of the places where a lot of people have been turning to for their sex education for decades now. And certainly in Australia, some media researchers have argued that the porn industry has actually had a tremendously beneficial impact on society, because it's the place where people can talk about issues of sexuality that they normally can't. So I think the whole news story and the whole tragedy and the whole controversy actually reflects those broader issues, that it's not just a Twitter thing. It's about how media entertainment has how pornography has emerged as a major form of media entertainment, commercially driven form of media entertainment, that has now become central to the way that we discuss sexuality in society for many people.
Is it that type of thing that as soon as someone gets a lot of followers, they're automatically a spokesperson? Because when Kate and Dyson and I were talking about doing this story, I was kind of like, oh, but just backlash. Like, I'm sick of talking about, you know, backlash on social media. But it's almost like the town square where one person stands up and yells something and then everyone yells back.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the way we communicate now, particularly with celebrities or comedians or anyone that has a huge following on social media. We actually listen to them. It actually has become important what they say, whereas 10 years ago it may not have been.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I think, on the one hand, porn stars are interesting in that regard, in the sense that, a lot of them become, you know, if you think about people like Nina Hartley and Ron Jeremy, if you think about someone like James Dean, there was a huge controversy around James Dean and sexual assault, I think it was last year, and that became a real problem for where several of his co-workers accused him of many acts of sexual assault. And this was a huge problem for the industry because the industry was really kind of putting its money on Dean as being sort of someone who was going to carry the industry, you know, very much onto the next level in terms of its public face. But there are other stars like Asa Akira, who's incredibly interesting, who's become a big star on satellite radio. So I think what's happening in the porn industry, like other parts of the celebrity industry, is these people are becoming bona fide celebrities. That is, there are some porn stars who are known, who people who don't watch porn know who they are. You know, I mean, a lot of people know who Ron Jeremy is. Even. Mm.
And Gemma Jameson.
Exactly. So
that's my excuse. I've never seen it. I just know them through social media.
Of course.
I just read it for the articles.
But I think that once you move into that level of celebrity, I mean, the other thing that we know about, the world of celebrity is whether they like it or not, celebrities become, become the face of particular issues, and people take what they say very seriously. So, you know, you can talk about an elite, and the literature on celebrity talks about this kind of elite cadre of celebrity people like Angelina Jolie, who really are, you know, whether you like it or not, they are important political figures. The things that, you know, what they say about political issues carries weight. And I think similarly, you know, kind of, I think the porn industry, one of the ways that it's tried to go mainstream, if you like, is to sell this line that, for example, it's one of the few media industries where there's sexual equality, although the evidence about that is, it's a very selective interpretation of the conditions of work in the porn industry, but also the idea that, you know, there are certain aspects, and it's a problem to talk about the porn industry because, in fact, there are many different forms of porn. But also, kind of, you know, the idea that the porn industry is one of the places which is kind of, which has opened up a discussion about sexuality and sexual well-being and social inclusion that other places haven't talked about. So I kind of think that, you know, I suppose the degree to which all of its performers are aware of this or would acknowledge it varies, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, quite seriously, that you know, like when you've, if you're someone like August Baines, unfortunately, when you say something about sexuality and sexual health and these sorts of things, you are operating in the political sphere, and unfortunately, and as we've seen, you know, you will be held accountable for that because people are listening to you.
Mm. Andy, I want to ask you about that as well because, you know, you have these massive social media juggernauts that people get on, they can say whatever they want. And in one case, that's absolutely great. But in another, it's like, what is the responsibility to monitor these conversations and make sure they're not getting out of hand? Because I think, as we all know, the social media can be a nasty place.
And it can end really badly.
Totally. Mm. Absolutely. But I think that in some ways it's a sensible question to ask. But on the other hand, it's really quite pointless because the scale of this, there's two other things that the porn industry and the social media industry share, and that's scale. You know, when the internet first hit the porn industry, and the idea, well, how would you possibly censor that? You know, who are you going to have somebody sitting there? You know, you can't police the circulation of images on a certain level because of scale. Similarly with social media, I think the thing to remember is that social media have risen to a scale of political prominence very, very quickly that no one anticipated, and certainly not the people who, you know, designed Twitter and Facebook and so forth. But the other thing to remember that's really, really important is these are commercial companies that are designed for profit. Freedom of speech and equality of access, that's not their problem. The question we really have to ask is, well, you know, how have we reached the point where we rely on commercial companies for our political discourse, for our public discourse. Mm. And what can be done about that? I don't really think going to Twitter and Facebook and saying, well, can you be more responsible, please? I mean, you know, I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it could happen.
Andy, what do you think could be, you know, to follow up, what do you think could be done about it then? To ask your own question back.
Yeah, well, the only thing you can do about it is education. You can only really educate people to understand what they're getting into. You know, look, there are other aspects to this that are really, really important. So, say for example, a lot of the controversies around sexting. You know, for example, you know, the idea that, you know, you've got teenagers messing around at a party or whatever and sending nude photographs to each other and those sorts of things, and they think it's a laugh. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, you're breaking the law and you could find yourself on a sex offenders register. So really what needs to happen is, from a very early age, everybody, you know, I'm talking about from primary schools, you know, it's like, you know, when you tweet, you are effectively sending a public postcard that everyone can read, and you will be held accountable for that. And there are cases, for example, where people have made racist tweets that they thought were just going to a small collection of friends, and they ended up in jail for it. That's the world that we live in, and the only way that you can deal with that in an immediate sense is for each individual user to know as much as they can about how that world operates.
Andy Ruddock from the Monash University Faculty of Arts, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.